Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent, returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn but are so grateful that we did. So, there are moments in our lives that are cornerstones. Sometimes we feel them coming, sometimes we realize what's happening in the moment, and sometimes it takes us a minute to digest before we realize the magnitude of the situation. My guest Vanessa Maria and I are discussing all this and more today.
Okay, so, well, as far as we know, in this moment, it is post-2010 is what we've just established. And if you went to school around that time, you will know what it was like. It was, I mean, not to have school at any time is weird, but my God, going to school in like the mid-noughties sort of around then was a real clusterfuck of emotion. But it is post-2010 and we are in year 9, which is, if we've got any international listeners, I don't know when that is. Felipe?
Okay.
Eighth grade. And obviously a very, very difficult time in life. It's a strange time when we're changing a lot. It is the school year. We're not sure when, but we may come to that. But in this moment, why do you think you've got no friends?
So as you so lovely introduced the idea of school, it was a difficult time. It was like, I guess adolescence, you're growing up,
mm-hmm.
and probably this moment in my life has been like the most instrumental to who I've become and like where I'm going. And when I look back and you're like, oh wow, that was probably the moment where things changed.
Mm-hmm.
It was the moment when me and my mom, my sibling were evicted from our house while I was at school.
Right.
So it was like a very like turbulent time. So we were homeless for a little stretch and then we ended up living with my mom's colleague. And I just remember vividly my mom writing on, like, they used to be a teaching assistant, and they'd write on, like, the primary school, like, chalkboard, is that right?
Yeah.
In, like, a office, and wrote, can you house me and my children? And I was like, oh, this is real. Like, you know, when you're a child, you're like, whoa, this is, like, my life. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of, like, crazy. So I think that was the moment. And so I was in year 9. I guess you're preparing for, like, GCSEs at that point, which is, like, exams that you take at that schooling year. And I just remember feeling like, I remember at the time being like, oh, this is gonna be a moment in my life. And like it really was. I think it was like having to like leave all your stuff. Like I think this idea of like abandoning your things, but then also feeling like a little bit abandoned from just like your environment and just, I guess, like care as well. So I think that's something that I've definitely worked through a lot in therapy. And when I think about it, I'm like, yeah, that was a moment where I felt so alone, isolated. And yeah, actually, I felt like I didn't have any friends,
yeah.
to be honest.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is like very, very real and very like, I guess, strange to say, but also like a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it made me really appreciate what I have.
Yeah.
Like, it really did. And it pushed me to that work hard.
Yeah.
Because I was like, instead of basically going out and partying, which, not that I wish I did, but I feel like, I don't know, who knows what kind of... what kind of Vanessa that would have been. And maybe more like expressive, but I think I went inside myself a little bit more, internalized a lot of things. But then I also just like focused all my energy on like completing my exams and like I bashed out like all my A-levels, GCSEs. Like I was just like books every day, which I'm very grateful for. But so that's why it was good, because it did make me focus and it was an escape. Like that work, I think work addiction probably would fit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which when you are sort of that age, in childhood, because I mean, like, you're 13, you're still a kid.
Yeah.
14, still a teeny, a baby. And you hit these moments where things happen. And it still happens in adulthood that you go, like, oh, this feels really big, but surely it's not going to be big. Like, this is fine. This isn't going to be huge. And then you suddenly come to this realization of going, oh, actually, this is a milestone. This is something, this is like a big pin we put in my map of life that I'm really going to remember. And that's quite frightening to go, oh, the realization of understanding that something is quite monumental and going, how are we going to move past this and how is this going to affect what comes next? How is this going to inform? And having that understanding, like, as a child, or that awareness, that must have been really, like, really, really scary.
It was scary. I think it was, do you know what? I remember thinking, like, oh, this is going to affect me later on.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the time, I was like, I'm going to find this Horcrux and it's going to end me.
That's such a great way of putting it.
I think, so at the time, it obviously affected me, but it didn't hold me back as much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't maybe realise that all the coping mechanisms that I was, like, engaging with were coping mechanisms.
Yes,
I just thought it was just who I was.
But they come across, like, it's strange. They're things that I think that you maybe turn to in terms of, like, work and putting in, pushing yourself in that respect, can appear as these, like, really positive things. And, of course, they are. They are really, really positive and they're amazing. But also can be quite detrimental to your mental health.
100%.
But we had a mental health activist campaigner, Ben West. Ben West, amazing, amazing guy. And he talks about his younger brother took his own life when he was a teenager. And he said that his response to that this milestone in his life was to campaign, was to be an activist, was to throw himself into that. And he said the line between me doing that and someone else turning to drugs and alcohol as a coping mechanism is really thin.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to fall on that side of it.
Yeah.
It was just my coping mechanism. It's the way that I dealt with it. And it seems so much more beneficial, which of course it is, but it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
It's a coping mechanism. And it's still a way of, you know, distracting is the right word, but, you know, being able to move past something.
100%.
Yeah.
I completely relate to that. And for me, it definitely translates in a sense of self-worth.
Mm.
I think as I've got older, I've realised that actually I'm getting so much, like, a sense of, like worthiness from the work that I'm doing, but I need to find that within myself.
Yeah.
And I think as I've got older, I've really, like, started to, like, struggle with this idea of, like, who I was outside of, like, my trauma. And obviously, like, the trauma is a part of my experience, but what would I be interested in, like, what would I want to do, and what would I do if these things didn't happen for me?
And
I think sometimes maybe it's, like, redundant to ask that, because what if is like a what if, but then it always makes me think about, like, it helped me to navigate, like, this addiction to that work and that sort of side of things, because I started to think, like, okay, I can still engage in work, and I just need to be, like, very, like, aware of my belief around what I'm doing. So instead of just, like, doing the work, because I'm like, okay, I need to do this work. I know that, okay, I have the belief that I need to do it. I don't actually need to do it. I want to do it.
Yeah.
And, like, being very mindful in like how I'm engaging in things that I want or accolades and that sort of sense of achievement. And I think as I've got, now I'm at that point where I'm like, that's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
And I can take a step back and slow down a little bit, whereas before it was that was like my lifeline.
Yeah, 100%. It gets to the point when you sort of only really understand yourself by what other people are saying about you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like going, oh, people are saying that like I'm doing this really amazing thing. Okay. I must be. Amazing. When you sort of don't know who you'll be without this exterior thing, it's really frightening when you go like, oh gosh, what if I was just like left? what if I was just on a farm in Iceland?
You know, normal.
But I mean, without the ice cream and the cheese, what would it be like? And the idea of that is so frightening for so many of us, which is why we throw ourselves into something. Whether that's, you know, work or exercise, or on the flip side of things being drugs and alcohol, it's a very scary thing, feeling that you're going to be left alone with your feelings. That's what they say about sobriety, is they say the good news is you get your feelings back, the bad news is you get your feelings back, which is so fucking true.
I mean, what addiction is escape from pain, really, isn't it? Like,
I was going to go, oh, it's the best. it's not good.
Yeah.
So what happened in the fallout that you guys were homeless for a little bit? Where did you stay somewhere when you were homeless? Did you stay in a hostel?
No, so I was lucky. I stayed with my friend. So yeah. I was staying with like different friends for a little bit. Which I'm really grateful for. But obviously, also it's quite strange.
Yeah.
Because I think at the time I didn't actually, I think my mom would have conversations with like the parents.
Yeah.
But I would say to my friends, I'm like, oh, I'm just having like a sleepover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a school night.
Yeah. I was just like so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like I was so deeply embarrassed about what was happening. So I didn't speak about it.
Yeah.
But I only spoke about it with like one of my really close friends. Mm-hmm. And the only way I could navigate that as well, again, was through humor. Mm-hmm. But I remember texting her. I don't even know if I had a text still. Probably not, no, it was the old phone.
Not by 364, that's pretty.
I remember when she texted me, I was like, lol, guess what, girl? I was like, I'm getting evicted and I'm homeless, but don't worry because my Wikipedia page is going to be lit. I literally remember doing that. And I just thought it was so funny. And
that is funny.
I know, but like it was just, I was just, when I look back, I'm like, oh my God, Vanessa, like, it's okay to process something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You, oh my God, you were so desperately trying to like make this okay.
Yeah. Any means necessary, just like, woo.
My Wikipedia page is going to be lit. There's going to be like, you know, the little like drop down bit.
You know? Like early life.
That
like,
makes
really difficult to struggle. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, this is part of my story now, but I think that side of things helped me to understand like processing your emotions is extremely helpful.
So very, very helpful. As hard as it is, because it is not an easy, it is not for the faint of heart. My God, like it takes so much courage to process anything. Something, my favourite expression at the moment, I keep saying it, people are probably sick of it, but I always say this stuff is always like going on a bear hunt, but you know, you can't go over it, you can't go around it, you can't go under it, you gotta go through it. You do have to go through it to come out the other side, and sort of any way around might sort of, you know, be like, oh, maybe this could work, but essentially you're always going to have to go through it at some point.
That's so true. I did this thing for ages where I would try and make peace and heal really quickly because I thought that was like my key to success.
Sure.
So I would, for example, my parents, I remember being in like third year of university and I sat them down individually and I was like, okay, you know what, I forgive you for everything and I feel like we just need to have a healthy relationship and it's so great.
Yeah, yeah,
like, it's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Everything's been great. Like, yeah. This is so fun.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Why does everyone do this?
Yeah. And I was just like, oh my God, forgive myself for everything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as I've got older, and I was like, why does this still bother me?
Yeah.
I, you know, working through therapy and purpose is like, you've skipped the most before that stage, which is processing, and especially processing anger.
Yes.
And that's something that I've found, really hard to do. And being able to, like, actually grieve something and the loss and feel those emotions.
Mm.
So I think that's been really important.
It's so funny. I don't know if you've watched The American Office as avidly as I have, but there is a moment when Steve Carell, Michael Scott, in The American Office goes, he's bankrupt, and he stands up and goes, I declare bankruptcy. And someone goes, you know, you can't just say it. And someone's going, I forgive you. Yeah. I forgive myself. I've said the word, so it's done. And it's like, not that at all.
I had no comprehension that healing is like a lifelong process.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I literally just thought, I was like, okay, I'm going to heal for this week. Boom. I'm good. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this stuff is it's not surface level. And also, like, you know, people always speak about the idea of it not being linear, and that's like also difficult to like grapple with, especially when it comes and triggers you in certain instances, or like the way that trauma just works as being like a wound.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard,
and you never know how it's going to sprout up,
right.
And it's and every so often it comes in like the weirdest way, in some way that you never anticipated, and then you have this response, and it's often only in like hindsight that when you calm down to go, I understand where that was coming from, shit, and I didn't ever conceive that this was going to be something I had to worry about happening. It is really difficult, and it does sort of feel like two steps forward, one step back, as so much of the time. We were talking about this earlier, as much as there are things to do and the work is done and the healing is done, I still have, like I was saying before, these long spades of time where the anxiety is so bad the depression, like, is so bad where I can't move. And it's so upsetting. So, like, I thought you were past, come on. And it's like the anger of it and the frustration going, not again. But it just does kind of happen. And it sucks. But having a name for it and going, oh, I know what this is. Hello, old friend.
Yeah.
Does, even though your nervous system doesn't go, oh, yeah, and then get rid of it, still feel it. But at least you can go, hey, what's up? Hey, it's you again. You'll be sitting in my sitting room for the next few days. Want to play some Hogwarts Legacy? Cool.
Might as well be friends.
Let's do it. Get on in it. Coping with humour is something I think so many people can relate to as well, because I've done that so much of the time. And it's like, it's, and it does work, because it also makes it easier for other people.
Yeah.
And if you're someone who's sort of gone, I need to make everything, like, I need to make everything as easy as possible and to make everything okay for everyone else. And that thing that you were saying about, sitting your parents down and going, I forgive you, whoa, let's go. Then it's a way, in my mind, of going, if I take away their responsibility, they don't need to worry about that anymore. That's done, that's fine. I can take that and I can control it.
Mm.
And boom, boom, we'll move forward. Don't worry about that, Jen, anymore. I'll take that off your hands. And it feels, I think it's something that so many people do, and it feels like really progressive and like, whoa. And then you're kind of like, oh shit, I've got so much stuff.
Yeah, I'm holding on to a lot. Yeah.
And it's too heavy.
I didn't learn my lesson until actually I went for a really bad breakup. And I realised that in that instance, it wasn't as easy as just being able to, like, control. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really can't. Family, you can't either, but there's family. It's like, you know, sometimes...
They're still like, they're
kind of, in. They're kind of, like, here in the periphery, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it's just a random... I mean, it's a stranger at the end of the day that you met and then you became close to. They can just... Go back to being a stranger.
Goodbye,
you know? Yeah. And that's when I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Damn, like, and it was so hard to let go.
Yeah.
I really tried to just, I just need to make this right and get this closure, and then boom, like, I can just move forward.
Yeah.
Relationships moving forward. Yeah. And it took so much time for me to to make peace of that.
Oh, 100%. Because they just disappear into the forest, taking a piece of you with them. And you're like, hey, I need that back.
Yeah, I need it.
I need that back. But I don't know where you've gone in this wilderness.
Especially if it's been any sort of like chaotic or like toxic relationship. It was particularly like difficult to navigate.
When did that breakup happen?
About three years ago now. And it still is like such a... It's very triggering because it, like you spoke about your relationship, it was also quite emotionally abusive, those sort of things. So I really relate to that. And just like, I think I lost a lot of self worth and like that self esteem. And it just took it. This is an ongoing journey.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing journey. But I think the main thing that I learned from that is being able to be that source of that validation for myself.
100%.
I think that was the main thing. I think having like an external person and like seeing them as like that bridge or that person who can like solve all my problems and like, you know, one wave a wand and all my loneliness and problems are gone. And that's also a lot of pressure and expectations put on someone else, but also like that wasn't healthy for me because once that was gone, it was really, I was gone.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I had to read like this, I went through this whole love addiction like book. And
have you read it? I read Women Who Love Too Much.
Oh, yeah, I've read that one.
And then Codependent No More as well.
Oh, okay.
But like lots of love addiction is something that I think so... Anyway, maybe there are a lot of people aren't like full blown love addicts, but I think a lot of, and women especially, I say that in very generalized way, but like have experienced that in some form.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, that thing of placing all this expectation and the future, this like imagined future expectation fantasy onto this person. And then when that gets dashed, if anyone listening right now is going through a breakup of any sort, I every inch of love is coming from my body to you because that pain is indescribable.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's I'm literally in my head, I'm like, oh, I was thinking about this earlier this week. I was like, gosh. That was, I don't think I realized how difficult it was until I read over my journal. And I was like, I was not okay. I knew I was like going through a difficult time. But when I was reading my thoughts, I was like, oh, girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. I scared myself. I literally scared myself. I was like, and I called my friend who was helping me the most. I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. I was read for my journal. I was like, I was not okay. And she was like, it was a difficult time, but we made it through.
We made it through. It was rocky for a minute, but we made it through. It is, it's, you're so, when things like that happen, you are so unbelievably out of sorts with yourself, but you're sort of not really aware of that because when you're in the midst of it, you're grabbing onto like little moments of like clarity and light and peace. And they feel like moments of clarity and light and peace, but actually they're like moments of like slight insanity of going, oh, this is what I need to do, and this is going to be fine, and blah, blah, blah. And then you sort of put these feelings down into words, or you send that message, or you do that thing, you cut the fringe. Oh, it's always about cutting a fucking fringe. Or like you go
the hair change everywhere. If there's no one who does not change their hair. Like it's so ridiculous. Even if it's just like, putting it up when you only have it down, like whatever it is, we bring I normally had braids, and I had braids for like ages, and for a year I didn't have braids, and I didn't realize, and I was like, oh my God, because I was like, no, the hair thing didn't happen to me, and I was like, wait,
it fully did. it's always, I don't know why it translates onto hair so much, but it's such a universal thing. I remember listening to a podcast the other day and one of the women's a hairdresser, and she said that like anytime a woman comes in going, I can't remember, there's a famous Hollywood actress who had like a very specific haircut and a very specific fringe, like one of those really short fringes, and if anyone comes in going, I want a so-and-so haircut, she goes, have you just been through a breakup? And if so, just take 24 hours, 24 to 48 hours, and then come back. Because, honey,
drastic.
It's not the time. It's not I did it. I had hair down to like it was like I could sit on it. My hair was so long.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, I mean partially like it did start. It was coming out in like clumps because of stress and just like everything was happening. Oh god, this is so bad. When I was in rehab just after this breakup, and I, oh my god, why did I think this was? I'm thinking about this for the first time. I don't know why I thought this was a good idea. And obviously, because we're in rehab, so you're not you things like scissors. You have to have permission to use.
Mm, mm.
Another girl and me in there decided it would be a really good idea if we. Got a pair of scissors and just chopped all my hair off.
Oh my god.
And we did. And it was, you know, like when you look at Barbies that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
It was literally, we did it with like the scissors that you have in reception.
Oh no. Was there any sort of like direct creative direction going on?
It was so bad. And I came back after rehab and went to the hairdresser and they were like, what the fuck happened to your hair? But yeah, that's when I got my hair off. And so, because I was in the city, I was like, oh, no, but my hair is late. But no, that's not the thing. It was basically the biggest thing. Mm. It's so hard because people say so much, oh, don't give all of yourself to another human. Don't give away your power, retain some stuff, but a lot of the time when you're in it doing things for you or doing things away from that other person, when you feel so anxiously attached to them, feels so incredibly wrong and uncomfortable that it's really hot. It feels just like torture to do it. I always get quite annoyed when people say, so in this kind of like really brazen fashion of like, don't give all your power away. Oh, come on. Like, don't. It's like, if you haven't sort of experienced that, you don't know how fucking difficult it is not to do that. And it's like not being able to breathe. I really sympathize with that situation.
Yeah, that's exactly how it feels like. Mm. And I think until you go through it, you don't realize how much like unlearning and work that there is to do.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that you can't do that work and then flourish later on in
100%,
like, wonderful relationships. And I think that was, it was also like the realization that, oh, maybe I have work to do.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily think, I was like, yeah, I've got to work myself. I didn't actually understand the magnitude of maybe some of the trauma that I was experiencing and how it was like surfacing and coming up in like my relationship patterns.
Yeah.
And I also didn't really understand some of the abandonment wounds that I had and like what that meant for like my behavior and how I internalized like just experiences that I've had, especially romantic ones. So it was eye-opening, and it was a very like, I guess, transitional stage of my life. And as much as it was so hard, like, I think I wouldn't take it back because I've done so much work and I've become more self-aware, which is a blessing, and also a curse, because the pain that comes with those processes and those feelings that are left to that process it's immense.
Yeah.
It's immense. But that work is like so worthwhile, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And when you're ready to take that like plunge, because it's not at all times where you might be able to do that and have capacity for it, because it is so vast and like ongoing, you know, when you start opening the box, like it feels like Pandora's box.
Yeah. Oh my god.
But I think for me it was not the sense that it was only helpful in like my relationships, romantic, platonic, whatever, but it also helped me to have better relationships with other things in my life, whether it was work, whether it was play, whether it was exercise, whether it was food.
Yes.
Just being able to like form a healthy habits, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it all really like links to my whole like childhood, early experience. I know people always talk about that, but really understanding those patterns helped me.
Yeah.
It was healing.
Yeah, 100%.
Hold up. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It is a really, really difficult thing to do, as you said, that it's fucking gargantuan when you look at the state of stuff and how, it's like you know, I've got a cupboard under the stairs over there. I don't want to open that cupboard. It's got everything in it, and it's in no way organised, and the idea of, like, sorting it out fills me with so much dread that, like, I can barely breathe. But it will happen at some point, when I'm ready. But it's... I think what I find helpful is the idea of looking at everything and just doing it literally one little bit at a time, one teeny tiny little bit at a time, and it takes as long as it needs to take, because at the end of the day, anyone who refers to themselves as healed in the past tense, or you know, my friend said the other day that they went on a date with someone who said they'd completed therapy. It is just something that goes on and on and on and on. And while that may sound tiring and scary, it's actually really great and really fascinating, because it means that we're always growing and always learning forever, like always, rather than just being like, okay, I'm done now and I shall exist like this. It's so boring.
No, it will be so boring. I think there's also this, like, rhetoric around, like, being broken. That I think but we can rephrase that. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're not necessarily broken people. We've had experiences.
Yeah.
We've had traumas. We've had to survive, and we've had to, like, create coping mechanisms in order to, like, best navigate the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're broken. And I think there's also this idea of, like, being healed or completing therapy. I think there's a way of, like, looking at it where maybe you're now, like, a wholly integrated person. You know, you have your present self, but also you've integrated your, maybe, like, the traumas or your experiences that you've had in the past that you maybe repressed before, and now you've become integrated. I feel that, because I think those things will always be a part of you.
Yeah, 100%.
And those are areas that you can, like, learn from.
Yeah.
And revisit if you need to, in a way where you're doing that in, like, a helpful way. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's all this inner child work and shadow work, and you can revisit in a way that feels, like, right.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to be so traumatic.
Yeah. It's like, I can't remember, the internal family system, I think is what it's called, where we have sort of different parts of ourselves, like the lost child or the... oh my God, why can't I think of another one? Or the, like, eating disorder. Let's just say those things, like the eating disorder and the lost child. Sometimes those two are really at war with each other, and it's about being able to have a conversation. Those two things have a conversation. So I think one of the reasons healing is so difficult is because when you start healing one part of yourself, another part goes, no, no, stop that. And it gets really tricky, because it is this sort of jigsaw that you need to put together in the most harmonious way possible. And it will always, you know, things will come up, but it's just a way of, it's just learning. It's learning and understanding, really. But fuck me, I look at myself in my early 20s, and I'm like, oh my God. What you, like, I don't want to call myself an idiot, but oh my, like, you idiot. So unbelievably unself-aware. Completely, like, so lost, so desperately looking for attention and affection and just anything that came from outside rather than from within myself. And I would do anything, anything at all. It's just, it's so awful to look back on. Also makes a pretty great story.
Yeah. Wikipedia. Yeah, I
know. Oh my God, that sounds going to be so good.
Emily aged 20 to about 26. Oh, I'm so sorry for everyone who knew that time. Jesus, Lord in heaven.
Do you know what, though? I feel like one thing that I remember reading that was really lovely is having grace for yourself extends to others.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start having more grace for how other people...
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I always think, because even when you're speaking, I'm like, oh, yeah, me too. Like, my early teens, I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Everyone else who I met who was also clear, I'm like, shout out to you as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're all going through it.
Man, it's fine. When people, yeah, when people go, oh my God, I did this really embarrassing thing, I am so fine. It's all right. And there is this thing like this sort of like level of empathy and understanding for other people and grace, and you know, it's like, you're right, grace yourself. Because, when someone does something or apologizes for something, of course, I always like hear and accept that apology and be like, shit, you think that's bad? Just, like, it's okay. It's okay. We all fucked up, and it's been weird as hell. Where did you go to university?
Bristol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice.
It was so nice. It was transitional time as well.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I grew up in like East, and I grew up in Stepney Green.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really left East London apart from like visiting my family, like Germany and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. So I wasn't really aware of like different. I don't know, I just thought everyone was like the same.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't have to explain it, because so when I went to university, I didn't realize, it sounds so weird, but I didn't realize there was like a concept of like boarding schools and like fee paying schools and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I was, as you can imagine, boom.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was really thrown into deep end.
I completely get it. Yeah.
And for people who don't know, Bristol University is, it has actually one of the highest percentages of fee paying students outside of Oxford and Cambridge, has like got a high percentage.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So yeah, it was. I think the first thing that someone asked me is, "Where did I board?" And I was, and
what? Just like straight off.
Yeah, I walked into the hall and was like, "Where? Oh, so where did you board?" And I was like, time there was that song by Beyonce called 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I was like, surfboard, right? And I'm like, good. So I was like, yeah, like what, like surfboard, like Beyonce. God,
that's
when I tell you,
sensational.
That look, yeah, wow. I was like, okay, I've said something.
I can see
that. I was like, oh, and I mean, I didn't really realize then, but looking back, I'm like, that was the start of like cultural revolution for me. But I didn't realize then, but that was the beginning of
it's so that transitional time when you go, because you've been so completely informed. Only by what you've experienced, and for some reason you kind of just grew up in like this, and so then to be put into this situation when there are other people, and you're like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
I was there.
And you have to unlearn so much and be like, wait, what?
What is going on?
Because I went to an all girls boarding school.
Yeah, yeah. So you know the vibe. So, yeah.
I know. When I got to drama school, it's like the first time since I was 9, 10 that I'd ever been like in a classroom with boys.
Mm.
And I was like, what is this? are we all meant to like get to like how do we do this? Like, it's this like crazy transitional time when you have to like almost like completely tear down the world that you had before to open up for a new one, while also like in a completely new environment. It's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy time. I can't get over the fact that someone went, where do you board? And you're like,
so forth. No, that's also interesting. With the idea of like not, I guess, having spent time with like boys and stuff in school, did it make those experiences like overly sexual when you did?
I mean, it's me as well. So I was already going to do that. But like, but you read into like everything.
Okay.
And it's called drama school. If anyone out there has been to drama school, you're wearing leotards for 90% of the day and basically just all like rolling over each other.
Right.
It's very confusing. It's a very confusing time.
I can only imagine. Because I feel like it was,
I think that was also hard. Just even being in school, just mixed gender school.
Yeah.
It was already felt like that, so I can't imagine how it would.
So having never been with boys around and suddenly they're in like 16 really good looking men being like, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, this is fantastic.
And I felt that in university as well. Yeah. I felt that that extent. I felt like, okay, this is probably the first time people are like really like integrating.
And what did you study when you were there?
Psychology, actually. Yeah. I did psychology. Yeah. It was that. Do you know what? I didn't actually enjoy the course that much.
Really?
No, it was very heavy on statistics, and I'm not the best at maths. So, but it did open my eyes up to a lot of different like, concepts that I'd not heard of, especially like social psychology. That was like really informative. I had an amazing teacher called Angela Rowe. I remember her.
Shout out.
Angela, and she used to do like lectures on like love and like family relationships, and like she used to have, I don't know, it was just like so warming, and she was like such an amazing lecturer. And that was when I decided that I wanted to like work on my relationships.
Yeah.
So it was a time where I was really healed. But I would also say with university, it was the first time I realized I was black. So that's what I would say it was transitional, because I grew up in Stepney Green. I went to a school that was majority Bangladeshi, some Bengali, Southeast Asian heritage. But you know, everyone was like a person of color.
Yeah.
And when I went to university, I was like, that was the first time when I really noticed the fact that I was like racially different.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, what? I was like, oh, this is it. And it made me very hyper aware and hyper, like I was hyper visible, but I also felt very like invisible at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, being able to vocalize my experience. So I think I would say that's why university, on top of like, I guess, class and race and just it being like very interesting, set up anyway for any person entering adolescence and like becoming independent, it was like a time for me to like really grapple with my identity in all of it in all of the various like forms it comes in,
and suddenly like radical understanding. I can never imagine what that must be like, stepping into an environment and suddenly feeling so, like you said, so exposed and yet so like unseen, I guess.
Yeah, it was such a strange, when I think about it, I'm like, it's too much. Yeah, it's a very strange like experience. I think the only thing I can, it's like a deep sense of isolation, but like imagine that everyone's like kind of staring at you while you're isolated.
Yeah,
because you're disconnected, but everyone knows you're disconnected.
Yeah.
So it was almost like awful. Kind of was like, oh, you're alone. And everyone's like,
woo! <It's frozen. laughs>
And I'm like, oh gosh, like this is different.
Yeah. And I never knew that I didn't know that this was something that I had to.
Yeah. I was like, wow, okay. It was when it's something that you're not aware of before.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, this is.
I didn't know.
And I think it was also something like social sciences also informed a lot of the work that I do now and like how I think about like well-being, mental health, but also just like some of the ways that you learn information, like statistics about minority groups and that sort of thing was interesting, because in lectures, people would be writing those notes down, being like, okay, this would be a great addition in my third paragraph for this essay. Whereas I was like, oh, this is my experience as a black woman from a working class background.
Yeah.
So it was like layers of like things that I had to navigate. And it was a challenging time. Just in that sense, but I think it helped me to really understand like my identity.
Yeah.
Like you're forced to, it's either sink or swim, like especially in those institutions for everyone as well. Like there's it's just, I always say like the mix of university like lifestyle is just it doesn't surprise me that so many people struggle.
It does
not surprise me, because there's a lack of care and there's a lack of like support in a lot of institutions, not all, but especially in Bristol at the time. I'm sure I hope things have changed, but it did feel like very disconnected from any sort of like pastoral like support system.
100%.
100%. I think, I hope that things are changing now because there's much more of a conversation, but definitely around that time, it was just like, it wasn't a thing. It just wasn't acknowledged. And you sort of felt like you were being kind of hung out to dry a little bit and just going like, see what happens.
Deal with it.
And you don't sort of realise that the things that you're doing are actually really, really damaging to yourself. Mm. And also, in my case, to other people, you're just like, oh, this feels like it's going to help.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it without understanding that this is actually not going to be useful for anybody.
Yeah.
But it feels right. And that's why so much time when something feels like, always say when something feels like it's going to be really good or feels like it's going to be right. And so much of the time it's not. I was saying this to my boyfriend the other day, that has been a couple of times and I've like wanted to send a message to him. Being like, and when I say this, it's going to feel so good. And every time I've done that, I've been like, delete. It's not going to go do anything. It will be like, whoo, for about a minute, and then I'll go, oh, fuck! This is coming from such a stupid place. So at this point in the podcast, we like to ask you a question, which some people find very uncomfortable, but some people don't. What are the things about you that you really love and cherish?
Oh, that's a really lovely question. I think I'm going to take a minute for that question.
How much do you need?
What do I really love and cherish? I think one thing that I do really love that I do is that I try and to improve. Like, I really do try.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's an issue, or if there's like some sort of trauma, if there's something that I'm experiencing, I will buy a book and I will read that book and I will do my hardest. I'll try my hardest to work through that. And that's something that I'm always just like, okay, I rate that. Like, I love that you do that.
That's really fucking cool thing. I don't think that's come up before. That, like, thing of not swerving, but actually going, oh, actually, let's pay attention to this and let's learn.
Yeah.
Rather than just being like, well, blinkers.
Yeah.
Pretending to not know that. That kind of idea of progress and not perfection.
Yes.
Is really great at actually making the effort to be informed.
Yeah,
it's amazing because that takes energy and it takes work and it takes time.
So much, to my detriment sometimes.
It takes time.
Yeah,
and it takes. I was kind of saying this the other day about like that understanding oneself, understanding other people takes so much time and energy, and so many of us don't want to spend that time and energy on understanding.
Yeah,
it would be so much more fun to deal with things.
No.
And so, like, taking that moment, I think that's a really amazing quality.
Thanks.
I'm actually going to take that one for you. That's a really, really brilliant one. Yeah.
I would say that's probably the one quality that I'm like, yeah. And I feel like that's followed me throughout.
Mm.
That stayed consistent. And I'm trying to think another one that I think I'm like, yes, I love. I would say it's probably like the humor side thing.
Yeah.
But I think recently, actually, not recently, I think it's in the last year, maybe that's maybe because I've processed more, I'm less on that side. But in the past, even though maybe it wasn't the healthiest, I did actually rate the fact that I would just be laughing at everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, number one for the homies. Like, I literally always, I'll get into situations and be like, this one's for the homies. Like, it's a love story. And like,
story time
for the girls. Like, the group chat's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Not the best, but like, we had some times, that group chat, where like, we had some stories. And, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, maybe not so much like the human side of things, but I'm glad that I always had like energy to try and to go back out into the world after like I felt like I've taken a hit.
100%.
Yeah. So that resilience is something that I really respect.
That bravery of going like, no, I don't know. So many, like, there could be a lot of this and go like, I'm going to retreat now and hide and not raise my head for the winter. I'm just going to go hibernate, but actually going like, no, but I'm back. Back. And not only that, but you know, you can all pretend not to talk about it. That's okay, let's talk about it and let's laugh about it, fuck it.
Yeah,
let's just have it, because these things often do just turn into like great stories that we can eventually eventually laugh about it. It takes time, and obviously not all situations, but there is so much joy and strength to be found in these things, and taking ownership of them rather than just sort of letting them swell as this cloud in the corner where it's like, oh, there's no one looking at it. it's really great.
So the just keep swimming.
Yeah,
my friend always says, like, every time I'm going through a difficult time, like,
just keep swimming.
That's right.
What do we do?
Keep swimming. So yeah, the final one would just be, I'm still here. Like, honestly, yeah.
Incredible.
We're here. What about you? I just wanted to ask you as well.
My main one is actually really similar. It's the one I say is the bravery and resilience. Because what happened to me, strange when I say what happened to me, because I was there for it. And obviously I made choices that were not good, but I was also had a neurological disorder that I wasn't aware of, but that was informing me. So it does feel like something that happened to me rather than it being than me as I am now operating. And there was so much of it that was so humiliating. I felt like I'd been put in the stocks and people were like throwing rotten tomatoes and everyone was going, look at that. I don't think like as many people as I thought were doing it, but it was so exposing and so humiliating. And I came back, and not only that, but when I'm going to share my story, because I think there are so many other people who will want to hide and to go, I'm not going to hide. And, I really love that strength, because I never thought I was a strong person. I thought I was a really weak person. For so long, I thought I was so weak. And what? Sorry,
no.
I thought I was a really weak person. And it turns out I wasn't. And I was like, oh, that's such a cool realization. Oh my God, it's because I'm about to get my period.
Oh my God, wait. Me and my friend have this thing where if we cry, we're like, no, it's just like I'm growing my period. And like when we check our app and it's like nowhere near where we just can't accept that.
No,
we're
no,
like, no, it has to be hormones. It's not the real.
It's not the real. No, I am none of this.
No, I do this. Literally, I'm always like, oh my God, like yeah.
Mm,
no, but it's real. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's some. I went to my friend's birthday in Sulsan. I hadn't seen him for a while. And they literally stand with me and went, how do you come back from that? And I was like, with a lot of patience and strength and bravery. And she was like, yeah, fair enough. And I was like, yeah, fucking cool.
Go right on to the ground, mate.
God damn, I'm awesome. So I think that that realization of strength after thinking, believing you're a very weak person, I appreciate and admire about myself. I haven't joined that question, but
that's amazing. Thank you for sharing.
We have another portion in the podcast that we call thank you letters. We ask you to express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three, but something, somewhere, someone for which you are grateful.
Oh gosh, do you know when you're like, I feel like Grammys award is
section. I know.
I've got like think about all the
names.
So many things. Like, I'm like, nah. Okay, so I know exactly who I'm gonna thank. It's my best friend Nazra Yu.
Yeah.
Woo. Lifeline. I always say that for me, going through the healing process has only been possible because I had a space where I could feel accepted and loved at my most vulnerable and at my worst, and having someone to affirm who I was and like provide that capacity for love was so special and something that I hadn't really experienced like when I was growing up. So shout out to my best friend for just being amazing and for just allowing me to like show up however I want to show up. And I think there's not many spaces, even like throughout my other friendships, where it does feel as raw and as like safe as it does with my friend Nazra. And I hope I can even just provide like a sliver of that she does for me, you know. So honestly, I have to say, like, she is just an incredible person, And I'm so grateful and blessed that she's in my life.
Nice. Oh, I love it.
We were crying.
Is there anything coming up that you would like to discuss or promote while you're here?
I think, do you know what? I don't have anything to promote other than just taking the time to take care of yourself.
And I think that is actually just the most important thing.
Yeah.
I love that. Just being like, I'm just going to actually promote just healing and self-love rather than being like, I got to go to talk.
That's
going to Australia. No, I think that's brilliant. Well, I'm going to link everything down below, so please see the bio for all the links and information. But thank you so much for coming to talk to us today. This has been really, really amazing, and just thank you for being so open and wonderful. And I actually learned a lot in the last hour, so I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I feel like this has been like a hug. Do you know what I mean?
Like a little Yeah, also Nikki hasn't been a nightmare today, which is great.
He's been listening.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.